We're going to talk about farming today. As the title says, you sow, I'll reap, or I'll reap, you sow. It goes back and forth both ways, and we're going to talk about how that works. Just so you're prepared, if you flip to Mark 4, that's where I'm going to start, is Mark 4. So how many people get discouraged when you do something and nobody notices? Couple, yeah. What about when you help someone, but you don't see a change in them? Get discouraged then? Like, why do I even bother? Why did they even call me if they're not going to listen? Did you know that God notices everything you do? And he notices everything you don't do? All that you've done, he sees. And he sees the changes in you, and he sees the changes in the people that you helped. It's our human nature to let each other down. There's just nothing we could do about it, because Pastor Lisa might have an expectation of me that when I approach her, I'm going to give her a hug. But instead, I give her a bump. And then she's like, she wanted a hug. So I let her down without even knowing it, because I just do my regular bump and go or the elbow. Yeah. Now, that's like a small example, but isn't there times where you think that your spouse should be doing something that you don't tell them that they're supposed to do, and then they walk through the door and they're like, hey, and you're like, or you call that friend that you really need to talk to, but they don't answer, and you get their voicemail, and then you leave a message, whatever. And they're like, what? Because you expect them to answer the phone, but they don't. Or you go to someone for advice, and you already have the expectation of the advice that you want, but they give you something else. Well, you weren't worth my time. You didn't hear. It's our human nature, because we don't know the expectations that each other have for each other. It just is going to happen. You're not going to notice certain things. When you walk in the door at 9 o'clock after working your full-time job and going to your part-time job, and you come in and you notice the kitchen's clean, but you didn't notice the vacuuming, and you hear about it the next day, like, I did all this stuff. You know, like, there's an expectation there. And in my house, that is something that we try to do, is let each other know about, hey, I noticed you changed the toilet paper. Great. We try to, like, we try to notice those small things, because we don't ever want to take each other for granted. So that's something that we work on in our relationship. So it is odd when Jamie expects me to notice when she's vacuumed and I don't say something, because that is something that we try to do. I didn't do that Thursday night. So I heard about it the next day because she was upset about something else, and that's what comes out, because that's what happens with us. And then all of a sudden there's hurt feelings. It's what happens. Okay, so we're going to talk about sowing and reaping. Everybody know what sowing is? Putting a seed in the ground. Everybody knows what reaping, getting the harvest. You're taking the seed back out of the ground after it's matured and grown. So who in the room dreamed of being a farmer? Wow. I actually got like 5 people. Good. If I said fireman or police officer or something, the regular. Who thinks being a farmer is like being a gambler? You put the seed in, you have no idea what's going to come out. You've got 6 months of waiting. And you don't know if there's going to be hail, if there's going to be too much rain, is there going to be too little rain, is it going to get flooded out? Is it going to get drought and not get anything to fill it? Is the freeze going to come on too early and freeze the crops before you can get them out of the ground? And you have no idea, when you put that corn in, is if you're going to yield 60 an acre or if you're going to yield 244. 244 is, by the way, where you want to be. It's the amount of bushels, amount of the seed in the bushel. And you have no idea if you're going to have a good year or a bad year when you put that seed in the ground. No idea. So you put the seed in the ground, but you really don't know how well the season will be, But the farmer does it anyway. And he does it every single year about the same time, and he waits the same amount of time to see if he's going to produce any yield. Did anybody know about the droughts through the Midwest this year? A lot of crops pulled up, fields up, and farmers won't have anything this year from that. So my dad is a farmer in the Midwest, in Iowa, and he wasn't like Indiana or Illinois and southern Iowa, and he actually has a crop, and it's a pretty decent crop. He's only going to have to lose one field, and my brother's going to lose one field. And that's all we lost. But they didn't know that. When all the droughts were coming and rain wasn't coming across the entire Midwest. And I called home one time, and I said, Mom, how's Dad doing? She goes, well, he's stressful, but, you know, God will provide anyway. You know, and you just don't know what your work is going to yield. None of us do. You're called to do something, you do it, and you don't know what's going to come out at the other end. You really don't. If I go back over to my example of coming to Pastor Lisa and give her a bump, do I know for sure that she's going to smile and her life is going to be lifted up right then? I don't know that. I could give her that bump and she could be having a bad day and she needs a hug instead. And I don't know what that hug's going to yield. When someone new walks to the door and they get a hug, I know when I was terrified when I first came to the church. Hey, welcome. Did you just try to hug me? You know? So you don't know. You think you're doing something great. You ever go out with great intentions? And then you get terror or run or... So you don't know. You think you go out with good intentions. We have no idea. But God knows what's going to come of it. So when we look at Mark 4 here, starting at verse 26, this is the parable of the growing seed. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. So that's the thing. Okay, so we're going back to our examples of doing. How many people do something and you're called to maybe give a hug to Pastor Lisa? So everybody's going to hug you now today because they're going to be like, gosh, you must really need a hug. So you get about 54 hugs. Sounds good. Okay. So I'll go hug her. And maybe I wanted to make her happy. That was my intention. But instead, she gets all emotional. Now, God only told me to go give her a hug. But what's going to happen now? Oh, my gosh. What's the matter? Can I get the tear? Can I get you a Kleenex? Can I get you something? You need to talk about it. We need to go for a walk. We need to get out of here. We need to go do this. Did God tell me to do anything other than give her a hug? See, and that's the important thing. When you're listening to God about what to do, there's a lot of times where I think that I'm doing all the things that God wants me to do. And I am worn out, tired. I feel like there's too much on my plate. I feel overwhelmed. I feel like I can't do it anymore. And how could you choose me to do this if you knew I couldn't handle it all? And then I finally stop and sit with God, and he's like, child, why are you doing 10 things when I asked you to do 2? But we get that little complex where we think we have to do everything. Because after all, we are the farmer's farmhand when he calls us to be that tool that Jamie was talking about. Because see, the farmer, in the parables of Jesus, he explains in Matthew, it's a different parable that we're not going to go over today. That's a whole other sermon. But the parable talks about the seed growing, and then weeds come in, and then the weeds grow, And the workers come in and like, should we pull up all these weeds? There's all these weeds. And the farmer says, no, you can't pull up the weeds because if you uproot the weeds, you might uproot the roots of the seed, of the good seed. And it'll be harvested at the end. And then the weeds will be pulled and burned. And then we'll be able to harvest the wheat. That's that story. That's another sermon. But through that, what we need to learn from that is later on, then he's talking to the disciples. And the disciples are like, what does that mean? And what Jesus said is, the farmer is the son of man. Sorry, the son of God. The farmer is the son of God. The seed is the sons and daughters of the kingdom. So it's the same here. The seeds, we're all little seeds down in that soil. And no matter what you do, how much you worry about each other, how much you try to help each other, we're going to grow regardless. So if you're not called to do something for something, have that faith in God that that little seed is being taken care of. I might just have to be called to give Pastor Lisa the hug to maybe stir up some things in her that, man, I am loved and I'm not alone. And then maybe it's Pastor Wanda that's called to talk to her about it later. You know, do what you're called to do and trust God that the other things that aren't getting done will get done by somebody because they have their little farmhand things to do. But the problem is we forget that we're the farmhand and we think that we're the farmer and you're going to control your life and you're going to take over. And that's what happens. This was how I was when I was a kid. I was a farmhand for my dad. I started working when I was 10. So once you hit double digits in my house, you were out the door. Except my little brother, but that's because he's the baby, so he got out of it, and he was gentle. If you met Dustin, you'll know why, and if he comes back, he's a gentle, gentle spirit. So there's two guys that came out and worked on the farm with me. And Dad, of course, put me in charge. We were in high school at this time. And I'd been working for 5 years. I was like 15, 16. I'd already been working for 5, 6 years. I'd been there, done that. I put all the fence posts in that I need to do. I picked up all the rocks. I've cut down weeds. I've baled hay. I've driven the tractors. Like, I know everything. So these two guys come to work for us. And these are, like, big guys. Like, they're big football players. One was about 6 foot, and the other one was, like, 5'10", right around there. And they went to the gym all the time and big. And so they come out, and they were older than me. They were 2 years older than me. And Dad puts me in charge of them. So then I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's right. Come on, boys. You know, I'm going to need you to put this fence post in here, this fence post in here. Then you're going to need to bring all this fence over here. Like, you know, yeah, I got this. We think we're the farmer. When we get a little responsibility. And then you get a little big head. And the farmer said, do ABC. But you're like, well, I'm in charge. I'm going to add E and D, D and E. You start going. But then you forget about A because you're so concerned about doing E. And then the farmer comes home. It's like, what have you done, my child? Well, I know we were supposed to read the garden, Dad, but we didn't. The garden's boring, and I thought we could split wood instead because we could use a wood splitter, and it breaks apart, and they have all this wood, and we could throw it at each other, and that, right? Yeah. I'll go weed the garden now. Yeah. So okay. Let's go over to John. John chapter 4 is where we're going to move to. Before we do that, I want to do a little demonstration. Can I get 3 volunteers? 1, 2, You're the big football player, yeah. I need a third. Going once, going twice, three times. I'll pick somebody. All right. Jackie, I'm going to need you to about stand by Sharon. And keep facing that direction. Don't turn around. Don't worry about anything, Jackie. Everything's fine. It's okay. Have a little faith. It's all right. Okay, so now when you guys lift her, and then we're going to spin. Okay, very creative. All right, Jackie. Turn around and let me know what each one of these people did. This is hers and this is his. What did she do? What did he do? Nope, nope. Did he do anything or didn't he do anything? He didn't do anything?
No.
Sorry, Christopher, all that work on your smiley face.
I did.
I can't even see it from here. You did a great job. Oh, thank you for drawing that smiley face. That was so good. I don't even know what you did. Okay, so these guys did the exact same thing. They both did a smiley face. He really did do a smiley face. I don't know why I used the yellow marker on red. Okay? Okay. You can sit down now. Thank you very much. See, this is how it's like as a Christian as we work. I can do the same thing that Lynn does, and she might get noticed for it, and I might not. Is that true? And then you're like, why does Lynn get the glory? I did the same thing. I scrubbed the toilet right next to her. Isn't that how it works? You get my point now about how God knows all that you do? Because God knows that they drew both of them. Okay. So I think we made our point on sometimes you sow and you reap. Sometimes you notice for it, sometimes you don't. But God always knows what you do, and he knows what you don't do. So do what you're called to do. Be that faithful farmhand that will do A, B, C when you're asked, and not do D and E and forget about what you're supposed to do or add too many things on. Okay? Now my second point. So sometimes you sow and you never see what you reap. But sometimes you reap and you never sowed. Do you know that you get awesome things in life and you didn't do anything for it? Like, here's an example. Pastor Wanda, when I came to this church, was I who I am today? No, I wasn't. Would you have ever asked me to talk in front of anybody? No. And why not? Oh, right. One, I wouldn't talk, period. Two, I was dead inside. Right. Yeah, that too. I didn't have anything positive to say. When I talk about my past, Jamie looks at me like this. And on more than one occasion, she's told me, if I knew you 5 years ago, this would not be. She would have given me a time of day. I had a dip in my mouth, a bottle in my hand most time. Every other word was some word we don't going to mention in church. That's how I talked. There's a lot of people in this church, and I can name a lot of people, but just about everybody that I've been in contact put a lot of time and farm hours into this here. A lot of people in this room, I look around, contributed to me. Fortunately for them, they got to reap as well. But what did Jamie do? By the time Jamie came, she's like, hey. There's a reason she's doing children's church. No, but really. In this example, didn't Jamie reap some benefits? Didn't she reap a harvest that she didn't have to do anything for? She prayed and waited. Exactly. She prayed and waited. That's why she was in her 30s before she... Yeah. she had to pray and wait a long time. It needed some work. So we may not know that the harvest is right in front of us. When Jamie met me, she had no idea how bad that I was. How the hail had come and just ripped my little leaves apart and the storms had worn and everything. She didn't know that the sun came and dried that up and gave me fertilizer and my leaves healed. Did she? She didn't know what kind of harvest was in front of her. And there's a lot of times where we don't know what harvest is right in front of us. Because we're looking for soybeans because that's what we planted. And someone's trying to give us corn. And we're like, no, I planted soybeans, I'll wait. Because you're looking over here at what you've been sowing. But God gives you things over here all the time that looks differently than what you think that you should have. So that's where we go to in John. So what happened, a little bit of background here, is Jesus had just talked to the Samaritan woman. And so the disciples are rejoining him after he talked to the Samaritan woman. So this kind of gives the background. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? That's us trying to figure it out, right? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps. It's true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. But how many people think that you only get what you work for? That's how I was raised. If you want something, you got to work for it. So when something's trying to be given to us, all this unworthiness comes. Well, I didn't work for it. Yeah. I didn't do that. I didn't come up with that. Well, take your blessings, people. Take your blessings. So, here's another farm story when I was a kid. So I don't know what happened. I can't remember what happened to the potato plants that year, but we used to plant a whole, like, our garden was about the size of a football field, and we supplied groceries for farmers market and for the grocery store in town. So there'd be like four rows of a football field length of red potatoes, four rows of white potatoes, four rows of yellow potatoes. But I don't know what happened to the plants, but they all disappeared. So there's just this big dirt area out there. And I just can't remember. But anyway, so Dad tells me to go fill a 5-gallon pail full of potatoes. And I was like, okay. So I go out to the garden, kind of forgetting that there's nothing there. And I'm like, okay. So I take the pitchfork. I'm like, well, maybe it's here. I dig in, nothing. I'm like, this is so ridiculous. Like, I don't have any guide. I have no idea where these potatoes are. Like, there's a quarter of a football field here where I can probably dig and possibly pick up potatoes because I knew about where they were. I'm like, so finally discouraged, I go to my dad. I'm like, Dad, I can't pick these potatoes. This is like the stupidest thing you've ever asked me to do. Like, where do you know where the potatoes are? And my father was quiet. And he just grabs a pitchfork from me, walks ahead of me to the garden, doesn't say a word. Looks down, puts the pitchfork in, pops it up, pulls up a whole slew of potatoes. There's a whole handful of potatoes. And then he looks at me and he goes, go straight down this line, about every 6 inches from the back of the hole, there'll be the next potatoes. And I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? How did he know where the potatoes were? So he leaves, and sure enough, I followed that straight line. I did exactly like my dad said. I followed that straight line about every 6 inches. I was on the mark every time. My father knew where those potatoes were because he's the farmer. My father knows where my potatoes are because he's the farmer. Open your eyes to the harvest before you. Don't miss it because you're looking for corn when soybeans are right in front of you. Have faith to know that what you sow will be reaped. Have that faith that your work is not for nothing. And what you reap may not be what you get to sow. You sow, all reap. All sow, and you reap. That is a Christian community. That is what it's all about.